Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. Let's read the two verses together, okay? It's pretty short. Right? Psalm chapter 32, verse 8 and 9. Ready? 1, 2, begin. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. That's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us as a local church. We thank you for the processes that brethren have actively worked to ensure, Lord, that what we do is right before you and also before the laws of the land as much as we can. We thank you most of all for the spiritual blessings that you have given to us, especially with brethren, Lord, wanting to make or desiring to make the decision to be baptized and to be added to the local church as they did in the early church. Help us to understand church membership, Lord, the importance of it, because it is your plan for this 21st century until you come. So, Lord, even as we seek your leadership, in the verse that we are going to see, we pray that you will speak to us in a special way. And Lord, even as your word promises us your leading, we know, Lord, that you will lead us according to your will. But help us not to be as the horse or as the mule, we have no understanding. But speak to us clearly. And Lord, deep down in our hearts, we probably know what we need to do. And that, Father, we will not avoid our responsibility of being accountable to you. Speak as the Holy Spirit, Lord, convicts our heart. We thank you for your precious word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you see that. Good. Please see that. For your information, over the I'll just be wrapping up, all right, our series in February, talking about running the Christian race, and I'll just be wrapping it up from next week onwards, probably for 6 weeks or so, or 2 months. I'm just thinking of how it goes. Okay, we bring a whole series on families, okay, families, different areas of family, family altar, bringing up teens, bringing up the needs within the family, communication. We just hope that God would use this series of basically messages to strengthen us from the inside, okay, from the inside, even as God is blessing us from the outside. We need to know that God wants to work also within the families. Okay, in November 1975, there were 75 convicts, okay? There were 75 prisoners who was inside this prison cell, and they started to dig a secret tunnel, okay? So that they will bring them out to the outside walls of Mexico, northern Mexico. It's called a Sotilo prison in the northern Mexico. They're trying to basically escape, all right? They secretly started to dig this tunnel so that they can climb out of the prison walls, okay? And on April 18th, 1976, guided by pure genius, basically, I don't know how they actually dig. You know, some people actually dig their way out of prison. There's one very famous criminal, I can't remember his name, from Australia. What's his name? Sorry? Mundine Joe. How many of you know Mundine Joe? Mundine Joe. Mundine Joe is such a famous convict in Australia. No prison cell in Australia could actually hold him. None. He escaped from every single one. Okay? He just escaped. And what he did was sometimes he would just do his own thing and he just use a spoon and dig until he escapes. Okay, Mundine Joe, you can Google, right? He's a very, very famous convict in Australia. And even maximum security, within 6 weeks, he escaped. Maximum security, and they limited his time. He escaped within 6 weeks. Oh, in the end, I think he was hanged or something. I can't remember his background. But anyway, in this particular situation, there were 75 criminals who wanted to do the same. All right, and when you are digging, you need to know where to go. Okay, they had no direction, but they just dug. And apparently, on April 18, 1976, they tunneled up into a nearby courtroom where many of them had been sentenced. And the judge looked at them and was surprised
and promptly convicted him and sent him back to prison again. Okay? That was very funny. For me, looking at, you know, sometimes when you're trying to work your own way out of something, and then you go back to the same situation, and the judge said, sorry guys, you're going back. Many Christians have this goal of living life in this world. It is very clear. In life in Singapore, especially when you're young, you study and you study like crazy, right? The goal is to get good grades so that you can land a job, so that you can earn more money. And many of our foreign friends that come from overseas too, many of them, unfortunately, their lands may not have as many jobs. So they come here hoping to help their families. I know many, they're just coming here to earn a living so that they can support their own families. Nothing wrong with that, okay? When in Singapore, the goal sometimes is to get good grades so you can get a good job, earn more money. In fact, all students should be the best student in your class, amen? The best student doesn't necessarily mean good grades. Would you agree? Because in the Singaporean culture, the best student always have the idea you're a top student in your grades. This depends on, are you looking from the world's perspective or are you looking from God's perspective? That's a very important principle we need to know, especially as parents. Okay, not just for it's not just for studies, but for all areas of our life. As a believer, what do you believe being the best mean? What do you believe being the best mean? There's a difference between doing our best for God and doing our best in the hope of getting good grades. Okay? When we do our best for God, it's very different from doing our best to get good grades. Does it make sense, the motivation? I was doing a youth camp, I think 2 or 3 years ago. I asked them, some of them just finished PSLE. So I asked them, why do you want to do well for PSLE? I got 10 different motivations, 10 different answers. One, I can't remember all. I can just generally some of the reasons why people want to do well for PSLE. Oh, because I want to impress my friends. Oh, because my mommy promised me a trip to Australia if I do well for PSLE. Or maybe one or two, I think, want to glorify God. Other could be, I want to prove my friend wrong. Because he said I'm very silly, I cannot study. Or something like that. They're different, same thing, different motivations. Okay? I was reading some statistics about people being Christians in Singapore. And in the statistics, this author, it was about 2010, I think, and she was just making a comment that even though people say they are Christians, you know, sometimes you have to indicate your religion, right? When you fill in forms, right? And she made a very important observation. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're living a life as a Christian. Do you know what I mean? You can say you're a Christian in the form, but it doesn't mean you are a Christian by your life. From a biblical perspective, there's a difference between being a Christian and living as a Christian. That's a very important separation we have to be clear about. King David, in this passage, Psalm 32, has just confessed his sin. Okay, those who know a bit of background, Psalm 32, he's just confessed his sin. He's just learned about the dryness of being a Christian in sin, verse 3 and 4. All right, the Bible says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Whatever freshness I have in me, because of my waywardness, because of my sin, is turned into the drought of summer. Can I say that no matter whatever blessings we may get from so-called from God, some people believe the promotion is from God, but they don't come to church after that. I honestly believe if the person is not very careful, a promotion in this world that leads you away from God can hardly be termed as a blessing. Anything that brings you away from God cannot be a blessing. Can I get an agreement on that? If you as a Christian can think of a blessing of the world that divorces you from God, there is a serious thinking problem. That's the serious flaw in our own Christian thinking. A blessing from the world and that leads us away from God is actually a curse. That's what the devil wants. Remember what Satan gives to Jesus? Well, all these things of this world I will give you.
Just bow.
Don't worship me. And people will collect it. I'm very happy. See, God bless me. Sorry, I've got no time to serve God. That's a, you need to be very careful there. King David just realized he cannot live life because, you know, King David has just fallen into sin. For one whole year, he was absent from God. Basically, God was displeased with his life. And David learned a few things. He learned about the dryness of being a Christian in sin. He learned how to confess his sin, amen, from in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. He says, look, God, I acknowledge I've sinned. Means I've sinned. I cannot run away from that. He learned to confess. And then he also learned to see how good God is. Look at verse number 6. For this shall every man that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh to thee. He also learned that God can be his hiding place when he is in trouble. David wandered in the wilderness of sin for a year in his, before God in his mercy sent prophet Nathan to rebuke him, and David submitted himself to him. How many of us sometimes feel that life, our life goes wrong in circles? I go to work, I come home, there's basically nothing left, you know, nothing else. I try to focus a little bit more on what my family and do what I need. Is it possible sometimes we're in the wilderness of our own will, in the wilderness of our own desires, wilderness of our own direction, kind of like those prisoners, you know, you dig, oop, uh-oh, go back again. You know, have you played Snakes and Ladders? In Snakes and Ladders, usually at the 90 over, there's one long snake, right? It takes you back to 20. How many of you, once you hit that, say, oh no! You know, it's like, I'm moving so fast. Sometimes as Christians, you kind of think you're moving ahead. Something happens and the snake kind of brings you back all the way down to, I think, 16, is it? Or is it 21? No. Is it possible some of us, sometimes we wander in the wilderness of our own direction? It's not God's will for God's people to be aimless in their Christian life. I say again, I was thinking through this, we need to be very clear. A lot of us have a lot of direction in Singapore with regards to our secular life. We know what we want in life. We know how to go for it. We know the career path, we know the thing that we're going for. It's not God's will for God's people to be aimless in their Christian life. By the way, just in case you think that there is such a thing as a secular life and a Christian life, you are sadly mistaken. Because all things you do, whether secular or Christian, are all one under God. When you work, you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? There are spiritual principles in your secular employment, which we'll talk about in Sunday school. Remember Paul says, servants, be obedient to your masters. You know what Paul is saying? Basically, you employees, listen to your employer. That's what he's saying. In modern day context, God has biblical principles even for our employment outside so-called of the church. Okay? Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. Why? For this is the whole duty of man. Okay? Even the way we eat and we drink, 1 Corinthians 10 31, we are to do it to the glory of God. So our whole life need to be one with God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 2. Let me just read it. This is additional. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and every day of your life. Whatever God taught us in Deuteronomy 6 2, we are to teach our children. Okay? That is why God says to a Christian, everything you do is spiritual before God. Everything you do in your workplace, your family life, your private life, your church life, will one day be brought before the all-seeing eye of God for accounting. You know, just now, Brother Desmond was sharing about how we need to be accounted. Things. You realize that everything we do in our lives, we need to give an account of at the day of judgment. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 and 12. We need to be very aware everything. That is why God says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is God's will to lead His children in the life He has called them to live for Him. I say again, It is God's will to lead His children in the life He has called them to live for Him. God wants to lead His children. Once we get saved from our sin and we are set on a pathway of the Christian life ought to supersede all kinds of life you have. Because it is the Christ life. It is the lifestyle that God wants us as Christians to have. And it is God's will to lead His child in that kind of life that will affect every area of your life. Did you know that? God is not just interested in... You know, some Christians only do the spiritual things when they go to church. If you make decisions for things outside without consideration for what God's will is, you have essentially cut God out of your decision-making process. Do you know that? But God says to seek Him first in all things. That's a biblical teaching, okay? It is God's will for to lead His children in the life He has called them to live, because God knows that when we live God's way, it is for our good and for our future. In Romans 8:28, we all know the verse, all things work together for good to them that love God, for them who are called according to His purpose. If you're a growing Christian, you will know everything that happens, actually God wants to, no matter how, have you ever met people that even though you spill something, they can turn that into something good. I don't know how, that the jigsaw puzzle can be a mess, you know, but maybe the Rubik's Cube. How many of you like to play the Rubik's Cube? You know, now they have 16 or so. Have you tried that before? No. How many of you can never do even one line of three? Put out your hand. Thank you, you're in the same company. After a while, I will give it to Nan. Well, you know, some people cannot. They just like, all the six sides, all the color. How do you do that? No, just turn off. Life is kind of like the Rubik's Cube for some of us. We just cannot make out. But you know, some of them are so good at that. And maybe for some of these people, they know there are certain strategies for those who can do. Some people know. Maybe I've never learned the strategy. Maybe that's why I'm a bit confused with my life, you know. I need to learn. You know, some people are very good at Rubik's Cube. Why? They have learned certain strategies. Is it possible some of us are confused with the Rubik's Cube of life? That many times, after we try, it is still the messed up colors. Maybe what God wants to do today is, hey, why don't you give me the Rubik's Cube today? And God can give you some specific instructions how we do that. No, as a Christian, no, when you have problems with the Rubik's Cube, what do? You give to someone to help you. Or sometimes like me, sometimes I just throw it. I won't throw it away. I give it to my children because they can do it. As a Christian, one of your greatest desires ought to be to do the will of God. Let's look at Ephesians 6 verse 6. I like this verse because Paul just makes it very simple but goes straight to the point. Ephesians 6 verse 6. Let's read together. Ready? Ephesians 6 verse 6. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Note that the doing of the will of God from the heart implies a few things. One, we are not living for men. Because the Bible says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Put it this way. I think many of us, when we work, we have to so-called please our boss. Anyway, they are paying. That's not a problem. I think we ought to honor our bosses. If they pay our wages, we need to do good work. That's the scriptural principle. Of course, if your boss asks you to do something that is illegal or immoral or that's wrong against the scriptures, we have to make a stand. Even sometimes at the expense of losing your job, you say, look, I'm sorry, boss, I can't do that, you know. And boss says, don't do that, you're fired. So in that place, then this verse comes in, not as man pleases. You don't please men to do the wrong thing, okay? But if your boss just asks you to work hard and be punctual, then we need to work hard and be punctual. Because that's a scriptural command. Number one, we're not living for men. By the way, when you work in your company, you realize God gave you that job so that you can provide for your families. Amen? Okay? And even in that, our duty is to God when we obey our bosses. Our duty is to God when we obey our bosses. I know sometimes, some of our Filipino brethren, I know sometimes overseas, you get stretched a lot. Right? Sometimes they will ask you to work 28 hours a day, right? Right? Don't give you time to rest and things like that. I don't, of course, you can negotiate your boss. I know sometimes we get very tired, but understand this. Doing the will of God from the heart implies that we're not living for men, And number two, we are not living for self either. Because the Bible says, not with eyes with men pleases, but as the servants of Christ. We are servants of Christ when we do God's will. Now we're not serving ourselves. Okay? And the third one of us, but we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and our lives ought to be in surrender to Him as we seek to serve Him. You know, when we follow God's will, as we allow ourselves to serve God in the way He prescribes, well, God in turn promises a clear leading and direction for us. And this is what we want to talk about today. It is God's will to lead us in His will. Would you agree with that? It is God's will to lead us. Okay? It is God's will that we know what His will is and to walk in it as well. And that's a very important principle. After I give you some illustrations. In Ephesians 5:17, I believe the verse is there. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. It's God's will where we don't only know what God wants, but to understand His will. As much as God allows us to. Because sometimes God don't tell us why we go through what we go through. And I want to say this on behalf of the Lord, based on the scriptures, God has the prerogative not to explain to us sometimes, because He's God. And that's a heart of submission. Say, God, I'm not too sure, but I know in your time you will tell me or you will help me. But if you're not, I just know that your will is the best, and I'll follow that. Psalm 73, verse 24, the Bible says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me up to glory. Okay, I want us to learn three precious lessons from these two verses that we read. The Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Number one, God will guide us specifically. God will guide us specifically. This is a hard thing to understand for Christians. And sometimes you say, well, God's not going to show you a sign in the sky. Okay? But the Bible did say, I will instruct thee. Number one, how does God guide us specifically? Number one, He will instruct us. The word instruct there has the idea of telling the person what to do. Example, please boil the water for coffee. That's an instruction. Okay? Please boil the water for coffee. That's an instruction. Okay? What are some instructions that God has given to us that we know from the Bible already? Anyone? Maybe on this side. What are some instructions God has already given to us? Any instructions? Huh? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and heart. Yes. What else? Love your neighbor as yourself. What else? Maybe two more from here. What other instructions God has given to us? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Okay, that's a good one. You just got baptized yesterday, so you can see that now. Corona, anyone? Ten Commandments. Oh, well, the Ten Commandments, okay. Honor. Some of it is, most of it, all of it are moral law. So, okay, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. Those are the instructions God has given to us very clearly. What about this side? Maybe you can give me two. What are some instructions God has already given to us? In everything, give thanks, okay? By the way, that's an instruction. In everything, give thanks. Really? I fracture my knee, also must give thanks. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. You may not give thanks for your fracture, because it's very painful. But you know what? In the situation of the fracture, well, I think I had one, I can't remember who, but there was one person who said, you know, I'm very sick, but thank God I'm sick, because I get to rest. Because otherwise the boss will keep calling me. Say, boss, I'm MC 1 week. Sorry, don't call me. I'm very sick. God can turn that into a rest period for you. Amen. You know? Okay? In everything, give thanks. One more thing. Feed my sheep. Okay? Feed my sheep. God's instruction to the local church. Right? Specifically to Peter, John 21. For us to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. Okay? So God has given us instructions. In fact, many instructions. If we just... Do you realize that the moment we get saved, God has been given us instructions like be baptized, join the church, love God, serve your neighbor, give. God says, I will teach you what to do. How many of you are confused about a Christian life? Just follow the Bible. Give. Love. Forgive. Control your anger. Put away malice. Serve. Join the church. Okay? Love your neighbors. Reach out. All these are in the scriptures. God says, I will teach you. I will instruct you. In fact, God has already instructed us. All right? Pretty straightforward. But as God instructs us, sometimes we say, but Brother Johnny, you know, I don't feel like doing it. There's a second part. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it's important as God instructs us that we have a heart for God's instruction. Okay, for some of us who know the seven laws of learning, there's a law of the student, and there's also a law of the teacher. The law of the teacher is to teach. The law of the student is to be prepared to listen to the teacher. Okay? In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, firstly, Ezra prepared his heart. Prepared his heart. In other words, before he even hear God's word, he already told himself, I'm going to listen to it. I'm very tired now, but I'll do what I can to keep awake, for example. Okay? Ezra prepared his heart. You know what it means when you prepare your heart? It means before you do something, when you prepare your heart for that thing, it means that thing is very important to you. Does it make sense? Okay? So Ezra prepared his heart to do what? To seek the law of the Lord. Notice Ezra placed seeking the law of God as absolute priority. And we need to do that too. Because he prepared his heart. How many of us actually pray and say, God, as I come to church, Lord, speak to me in a special way. There's one thing, Lord, that you know I'm going through this, but God, I pray that the word of God today will teach me something. And that's an important truth. Many Christians don't even have that preparation. They come to church, shake hands, smile, wow, nice invitation song. They go home and they live their life as if nothing happened on that Sunday. Kind of like a social activity. Don't let church go in. I believe with all my heart, if you've been to church for 10 years, you would have attended church 520 times. Would that be true? Yes? Do you realize God holds you responsible for the 520 messages you have heard? Wow, Brother Johnny, yes. Maybe God repeats the message again and again. And it's an important truth for us. Because God in every message actually has something for us. Now, of course, I'm just drawing the parallel. But listen to this. You know, as parents, when you tell your children, this is the 613,021 times I've told you.
Why can't you get it?
Is it possible sometimes God repeats the same things and we don't listen? All right. God holds us responsible. We need to prepare our hearts. That's what Ezra did. To seek the law of the Lord. And then what did he do? He obeyed it. The Bible says, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Okay? For Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, this is your maxim. When you teach a class, you need to have Ezra 7 verse 10 written in your hearts. Okay? When you teach, you need to seek the law of the Lord. Do it and then teach. Because the next one is he actually taught the word of the Lord. You know how you grow in Christ? Prepare your heart, seek God's law, and then obey it, and then seek to teach others. Okay? So come to church, have the heart to worship the Lord for the right thing to do. As you're willing to obey the Lord, you realize God will show you His will more, and that's an important one. In Psalm 25, verse 14, listen to the scriptures. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. How many of us say, I don't know what God wants? You know why? Because you have not been fearing Him enough to do what He told us to do in the first place. And Christians, when I think about recruits going into training, if a recruit doesn't learn how to handle the rifle, how to don his army equipment, you know, when he goes to war, he will obviously be affected. Why? Because he cannot handle things properly. Okay? In the same way, sometimes God cannot send us for special missions simply because we have not feared Him. When you do something wrong, for example, I just throw it out. If you do something wrong, for example, is it anything to you that is a sin? We need to have that fear of God in our hearts. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show him His covenant. When we have a fear for God, God says, I can trust you with my truth. Okay, that's one thing. God will instruct us. God will also teach us. Okay, the instructing talks about exactly what you need. The teaching is to show you things. The more we are willing to obey God, the more we understand things about life. Okay, this is a very important truth. God will teach us. Brother Johnny, I don't understand. Sometimes people will say, I have a hard time absorbing the truth. You know why? It's the truth. If someone has prepared the buffet lunch for you, it's prepared already, and you say you can't eat it, whose fault is that? Can you see what's happening? And many times, you Christians, I just ask us as pastor to accept responsibility for your own Christian growth. To prepare your hearts to absorb the Word of God. Of course, if this is not the Word of God, cast it out. But if it is, take the responsibility. Prepare the heart and let God write and instruct and teach us. Edward VI, the King of England, in the 16th century, attended a worship service. And what he does every time he attended a worship service, when the Word of God was read, he would stand up as a King of England. He would take notes during his times. And then, after he has taken notes, when he goes home, he will study the notes with great care. Through the week, he will earnestly try to apply them to his life. This man, as he was noticing this, that's the kind of serious-minded response to truth the Apostle James is calling. Or the apostles are calling for us. Our response to the Word of God. A single revealed truth cherished in the heart and acted upon is more important to our growth than a head filled with lofty ideas about God. I say again, one truth revealed from God to the heart and acted upon is worth more than a whole head filled with ideas about God. Would you agree with that? You know, as parents, let's be truthful. We'd rather a child obey than know a lot of things. You know, of course, we want them to know more. You know, that's what God feels sometimes. God wants us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. One step forward in obedience is worth years of study about obedience. I say again, one step of obedience is worth years of study about obedience. There was a time, there was a Bible study was going on. In the Bible study, was this lady who was living in sin. Okay, and at the end of the Bible study, the lady asked some questions of the Bible study leader. And at the end of asking the question, the Bible study, this lady told the Bible study leader, "I know what I need to do." It was revealed later that lady was actually living in immorality. But at the Bible study, God showed him from the Word she had to break off that relationship. And praise the Lord. 25 years later, she's happily married with a godly husband and kids to love God. Because she made a decision, "I know what I need to do." No Christians, can I share? I know the Bible says, "I will instruct thee, God will." But sometimes God doesn't get through because we're not doing what He tells us to do in the first place. Put it this way, if you don't learn your mathematical tables, it's very hard for me to teach you long division. Do you agree? You need to know 2 times 2 equals to 4, right? 8 times 2 equals to 16, right? 16 times 20 to the power of 3 equals to? Huh? Yeah, okay. You cannot do long division without knowing the multiplication tables. Is it possible sometimes God says, "I will instruct you, but I can't get through that part"? Why? Because we have not prepared our heart to receive the Word of God. Can I say this? With the privilege of Bible-believing churches, with the privilege of the amount of information on the internet, some of you have more Bibles on your handphone. In the past, we only had one. That's the only one you have. You know, in countries like China, it's like, do you realize that early Christians may only have literally one portion of Scripture? And they will read that page again and again and again because it's an apostolic writing, and they will keep it and they will study it and what God wants to show to them. Christians, God will instruct us. But we need to have the heart. See, God doesn't fail in His part. We need to put in our part. That's one. In some situations, the life situation may have been broken without repair. God still has His will. We need to seek it and God will still instruct us. Number one, God will instruct us specifically, but number two, God will guide us personally. "I will instruct thee and teach thee and show thee, I will guide thee with mine eye, with my eyes." God says, I will guide thee with mine eyes. I was thinking, what does it mean in the past? And literally, God says, I will guide thee with mine eyes. Say, hey, there. Okay, I want you to go there. That's the place. Look at what I'm looking there. I will guide you personally. God takes personal interest in our Christian lives. Did you know that? God is very concerned for Christians who may not be reading the Bible. Why? Because, hey, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not listening to me. If you're not praying, you're not communicating with me. If you're not obeying what I'm telling you, you're not growing as a Christian. Very simple. Some children will eat. You need the children to exercise too, because otherwise if they eat, they become bigger. Okay, of course, some because of genetic problems, medical problems, they just can't burn out their fats quick, but they do exercise and all that. But you know what? As we take in God's word, God expects us to obey. And God is interested in every part of that growth process for us as a Christian. Okay? How does God guide us personally? Number one, we need to be Christians. We need to be saved. If you're not a Christian, God has nothing for us. The only thing God says, you need to trust me as your Savior before I can actually move the next step. Okay, Brother Johnny, that seems a bit harsh. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. If you are not a Christian, you have no desire for the things of God. So God says, the first thing you need to do is to get saved. You're not a Christian. And then, realize that after that, because we have a relationship with God, God wants us to be faithful to the little things He tells us to do. God's guidance requires our faithfulness in the little things. I say again, and I'm firmly convinced over many years as a Christian, I'm sure some of us will attest to that, the more we obey God, the easier it is to do God's will as we grow. Because we already have a habit of listening and obeying what God has to say. That's why many of those people who are in full-time, or rather many of the people on the mission field now, are usually people who are very busy. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. This was a passage that we explored about 10 years ago for myself and some of the pastoral staff. And we realized one of the principles God's calling on the life is when people were busy serving the Lord. Busy serving the Lord. Okay? Life duties are one thing, but they are busy serving the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 24, 25, the last two verses, and the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. That was a very powerful phrase for me as I was studying this. The Bible says that Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. In other words, they completed what God had for them in Jerusalem. That's why they went back. So to Antioch. From Jerusalem. Okay, then in Antioch. They went to Antioch. But they fulfilled whatever God wanted them to do there. They were busy. Okay? And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, now there was in the church, there was Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, there was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had brought up with Herod, the patriarch, and Saul, as they, the word minister, what does the word minister mean? As they served. As they served. As they gave their ministry to the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. Remember, Paul and Barnabas just finished their ministry at Jerusalem. And now they are serving God. And God says, send them out. I've got something else for them. A truth from the scriptures, I believe this is true. God will never serve. God will never use someone who's not doing anything for Him. He can't. Not because He don't want, He can't. It's very clear, in God, God always uses men to do His work. Did you know that? God's not going to shine. He can, if He wants to, have a big sign in the sky, so-and-so, please go full-time. He can. But you know what? God works through people. And God cannot possibly use someone who's not moving. Would you, as a boss, send someone on a special mission who always take MC, always hang around, do nothing, always, you know, is skiving, always just sit in the office, do nothing? No, you know. In fact, you have something to say at your spirit appraisal. Right? Christians, God wants to guide us. But we need to be involved. He wants to. In Luke chapter 16, verse 11, the Bible says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" If you read up in Luke 16, verse 10, that's what exactly what Jesus was teaching. Luke 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." He's saying, of course, this one refers to people who are not even faithful in the outward things. You know what? You know the teasing truth of this is interesting. Many Christians are very faithful to their work outside. They give 100% or more. But you know why Jesus is still saying the laborers are few in his work? Do you see the difference? Or many people of this, even as Christians, are very faithful to the work outside. What about the work of God? Would we give 100% to? Would you give 100% to? Spiritually? Really, it's something that as Christians, God wants to guide us. God wants to guide us, but it has to be on His terms. The guidance of the Lord is always for our good. Let me just read two verses. It's interesting. Jeremiah 24, verse 6, "For I will set mine eyes upon them for good." When God guides us, it's always for our good. God will guide us personally. But once again, that is, God will fulfill His responsibility. Our responsibility is to want to be guided. Christians, do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon? And so, He wants to encourage us, "Hey, I want to guide you in the ministry that you'll be blessed others with." You know, the people who were just added to the church recently, it's a result of Ambassador's team effort. Did you know that? And of course, some watered, some sowed, some watered. It was God who gave the increase. Amen. We give all glory back to God. But it's a result of every Christian doing the little that they can in encouragement, in being faithful, in just doing the small things for the Lord with our heart. And so God gave that kind of increase. There was an evangelist who was speaking to this guy. His name is, he's a banker, okay? And this illustration is to illustrate how God guides us. Because as an evangelist, of course, as a Christian, he has been faithful to the Lord, and he was actively speaking to this banker in New York. The banker was always saying, "I'm too busy for Christian. I'm too busy. I got no time. You know, I got so many things I need to do." Notice the mighty eye there. Time passed, and the banker, seriously overworked, was sent to a place for complete rest. You know, how many of you have heard in Wall Street there was one guy, I think, who worked 3 hours straight and was found dead at his office. Sorry, not 3 hours. Sorry, 3 days. Sorry, 3 hours straight. Some of us can. 3 days straight, 72 hours straight. Okay, Wall Street seems to be the place for the guy. He was found dead in his office because he was so overworked. So this banker probably had the same. And so, as he was over, because this evangelist has been speaking to this person, one day God actually impressed on this evangelist, the message was clear, "Go and speak to this banker." Okay, they were in different cities, by the way, in America. Okay, of course, the evangelist said, "What? You want me to speak to him? Lord, I'm going to take a train." No, did he do that? No, because he was obediently doing God's will. He immediately caught the train and went to this person. Okay? When he was in the hospital, this evangelist saw the banker standing in the hallway. Say, "Oh, hi, evangelist." You know, the banker said, "I'm so glad to see you." And so the evangelist said, "Oh, I received your telegram." Last time was no WhatsApp, right? So they sent telegrams. You know. "That's impossible," said the banker. "I wrote a telegram begging you to come, but I tore it up. I just didn't send it." You know what the evangelist said? "That may be. A telegram came from heaven. God told me to be here." And that evangelist found that person to be under deep conviction of his sin. And at that point, he trusted Christ. What a blessing it was. Immediately after he was so filled with joy, this banker said, "Look, have you ever seen the sky so blue or the grass so green before?" The evangelist said, "Well..." Well, not really. I mean, the sky is always blue, you know. And the evangelist said, sometimes we sing heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. As a banker was relating this, he closed his eyes and died in the arms of the evangelist. You know, when I read this last part, you know why God needs to guide us? Because there may be someone who may just need a message of grace from our lives. There are some times that maybe because of our weakness, we are all weak. But when God wants to guide us, Christians, we need to put ourselves in the place, God, I want you to be the guide of my life. That, you know, it's a sad thing sometimes. I know in my life, I'm sure, there are some times that I've fallen in some areas, and as a result, some Christians backslided. We may all have that experience. As parents, sometimes we kick ourselves for the words we say and the things we did that we shouldn't have done, that may have offended our children. You know, as pastor, I'm sorry if things I did offended you, but you know, in God's will, when God wants to guide us, when I read this, is it possible sometimes God wants us to be the testimony so that someone else can actually see the grace that is in Christ? God wants to guide us personally. And finally, you know, Psalm 32 verse 9, this is the hardest one. So I'll just read, I'll let God do the talking, okay? Because be ye not as the horse or the mule. Why did God say that? Because God said, you know what God is saying? Don't be stubborn. Listen. Be not as a horse or as... These are animals that have no understanding. They just follow. Okay? Which have no... Whose mouth must be held in bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The psalmist tells us not to be stubborn as God is moving in their hearts about certain things. God sometimes speaks very clearly to the people of God. And God expects us to respond. Instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from the grace of God. Because when God gives an opportunity to grow and we withdraw from it, basically we are disobedient. There's another poem that says, where our captain bids us go, 'tis not ours to murmur no. He that gives the sword and shield chooses too the battlefield where we are to fight the foe. When God tells us to go, point number three, we are not to be stubborn. I'll just use what God, we are not to be stubborn as God speaks to us. Christians, we will have our reasons. But really, when God gives us His instruction, is there any reason why we reject and do not obey what God says? Can there be any legitimate reason on God's earth that we can ever have to reject a God who loves us so much? Is there any reason? Remember Naaman, the general who went to Syria, or rather who went to Israel to find Elisha to heal him? And when he went there, he expected Elijah to call fire down from heaven, you know, and God will heal you of your leprosy. And then Elisha sent his Gehazi, his sidekick, and say, just tell him to go to the River Jordan and dip 7 times. The general was very angry. How dare you? Never give me face, right? Huh? I expected you to come and greet me. What kind of prophet is this? Of course, then this is all sanctified imagination. And then one of the general's friends, or rather his soldier, said, sir, if Elisha asks you to go to do something big for him, would you do so that he can get healed? So of course I will. This prophet asks you to go and dip in the water 7 times only. He didn't ask you to do a big thing. You know, there's more sense in that servant than the general. What happened? Yeah, actually you're right. Okay, you do it. You know what he did himself? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Still not finished. The 7th time, the Bible says his skin became like what? Baby skin.
Let me ask you a question. When God asks us to do something, that'll be too hard for us. If we are as parents, know the limitation of our children, and will give instruction based on that limitation, don't you think our Heavenly Father, wise and loving as He is, would ask us to do something He knows we can never do it? No. Christians, the Bible tells us, let's not be stubborn. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. That was David's instruction. Don't be a donkey who don't have any understanding of instructions. However, Christians, we need to understand God wants to give us direction in our lives. All God is asking us. Let me ask you, the old-fashioned way of the scriptures was when you get saved, you be baptized, you be faithful to the local church and serve according to the will of God. You love your brethren as you would love God. Children, the old-fashioned way, if you're looking for direction in your family and life, children, you are to obey your parents according to the will of God. Parents, we are to love our children, bring them up in the nurture of admonition, not of worldly philosophy, but of the Lord. You are not to input what you think is the best. You are to input what God thinks is the best for your children. If you're looking for direction in your workplace, you have to submit yourself to your masters with grace as much as you can. As far as some of the masters are unreasonable, you ask God for strength. God, what am I supposed to do? And God will give you the grace to do that. In some of our relationships, you know what's the will of God is to submit to one another to the will of God. God's will for the local church is for us to bind as one, to serve Him as one, to pray as one, to fight the spiritual war as one, to help every young believer in this church to grow as one. We are not to take off. That is against the will of God. The direction of God is very clear in the scriptures. If we will only open our eyes and see. As a father in the house, your direction is to lead your family in the ways of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, God says. In Deuteronomy 6, God has made it clear, ye fathers, when speaking to the whole nation of Israel, you are to have the love of God in your hearts. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Fathers, you are the pastors of your house. Wives, you are to be in total submission to what God says and what the husband tells the family to do. In the spiritual direction of the household, the father takes the lead. The wives follow. That's what the scriptures teach. If you want direction for your life. Fathers, if you are not saved, you need to get under the love of God and understand God has a will and direction that is to bless that family. Unless you want your children to be statistics where teenagers will disobey parents, go into drugs, all these kind of things. God has a will. If you are lost in your Christian life, perhaps certain things have happened in your life. You know why certain things have happened in your life? Because Christians simply refuse to just follow the counsel of God. I'm here to say that we preach God's word because we believe God's word is the best counsel for this life. Any other counsel other than the word of God, the Bible says, Isaiah 8 verse 20, there is no light in them. I hope not as pastor to put a burden on you, but to tell you from God's light that He wants to give us direction in our lives. He wants to lead us. And Christians, if you are lost, perhaps you're just focusing on the daily running of life, and you're always... You know the way to learn swimming is to swim. The way a child learns to walk is to walk. The way a Christian grows is to obey. Do what God says. There was a man who was drunkard. He was invited to an evangelistic meeting. And praise the Lord at the meeting as a drunkard, you know. He trusted the Lord. The night after he trusted the Lord, he told the preacher, "Sir, I've been a drunkard for many years. I live under the bridge with 26 other people like me. We wake up in the morning to the bottle and go to bed at night drunk.
That's our life for many, many years. For many years we did that because there was nothing to live for. Yesterday when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord gave me meaning in life. My direction in life now is very simple. I'm living for the mission field under the bridge. By the grace of God, I will lead those 26 people to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus changed my life. Some of us are living too much for ourselves. Can I encourage you to live for Christ who loves you? I'm not saying ignore your duties. I'm not saying that. I think you need to be very clear. Never an ambassador will wish ask you to shirk your worldly, or not worldly, those jobs that you have. Do a good job in them. But put God in your life. Don't separate church and work. Or no, don't separate God and church. Or don't separate God and your work. Regarding this, my work, okay, so God, I pray you help me in my work, but you know what, God, no time for what you have. You realize when God comes, when the Lord Jesus comes today, we'll be called to question, or rather we'll call to account the things that we have done with the opportunities we have. Remember, in Matthew 25, as we close, when the Lord Jesus left, go back to heaven, he gave talents to the Christians. One day, for every talent he has given us, we will have to restore. And on that day, no one can give any excuses. And can I encourage you from God's word? God still wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. But today I believe God just wants to tell us, let's just get back to what he wants us to do. Next week we talk about families. There are certain things that have to be said from the scriptures about how we live our family lives. And I pray that God will help our hearts to be ready for what he has. Because God has a lot of insights into families and how it should be run. Example, some people don't believe in spanking today. For your information, God still says, if you don't spank your children, you don't love your children. That's what God says. And if that doesn't change your philosophy, your family life will remain the same. And your children will grow up with the thinking, there is no consequence for my sin, and therefore will reject God in the end. Brother Johnny, is that going to be true? Only time will bear it out. But I know from God's word that if we don't follow what God says, the consequences are just natural, spiritually. Does that make sense? I'm praying that as a church, as we go forward in the next few weeks, as we talk about the family, pray that God will give us a heart. Say, Lord, I'm going to prepare my heart. Whatever you give me, I'm going to take. I'm going to obey you. Pray for me as I prepare those things, okay? That it will not be what I think family should be, but what God says it should be. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you have had. I believe with all my heart, Lord, that you have a way and a will for the people here. And I pray your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us as you have always been guiding us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will teach us your will and your ways. Because without your will and your way, Lord, we are just as lost. Because we will be guiding our own lives with the wisdom that we have. And many times, Lord, with the wisdom that we have only made a mess of our lives. We thank you for the leading of many of our brethren's lives. Lord, I do not mean to be negative. But God, if there's some negativity that's coming out and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is in line with that, I pray that we'll accept that as from you. God, you design our lives after we become a Christian to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that we will truly become more and more like Jesus Christ. And the more we set our mind and heart to do your will, to follow your leading, Lord, we know, Lord, the dedicated life will be the transformed life, that we will become more and more like Jesus Christ. Our family will reflect more and more the love of Christ and the grace of Christ so that others might know Christ as well. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do even as we give you praise, Lord. I know the hour is late. And I pray, God, that you help us to realize you will lead us specifically. You will guide us personally. You just ask us not to be stubborn. just to submit to what you have for us, Lord, to do your will. Lord, I just commit every heart into your hands. I'm sure deep down in the hearts of people listening, you have certain things to say. I pray that you just say it, Lord, in the way that you see fit. I pray specifically, Lord, that the message today that you have given to us will initiate change in some of our brethren's life, some of the people's life, that will affect them for the rest of their lives. I pray also for the young people, Lord, that they will learn what it means to dedicate themselves to doing your will and to be fully assured of how you will guide them through the word, through concerned parents, through young youth leaders and Sunday school teachers. And I pray, God, that they will grow as a result. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.